It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Hey, fantasy football owners. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception, a podcast dedicated to the wide receivers. Are you as confident in your flex as you are in your wide receiver one? I didn't think so. So follow Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Who takes the win this week? The rest of this week? Are you going Braves tonight?
Oh, don't ask me. And
a game two of a 3-game set in the wild card series against the Padres after losing last night 4-0. So they got shut out. Or are you taking the Falcons on a Thursday night football against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
Don't make me pick between which kid's my favorite.
Yeah.
Or, you know, that's basically what you're doing.
Which kid are you sharing your Uncrustable with?
You know, it's a simple choice for me, to be honest with you.
I'll tell you the truth. I share Uncrustables with the Falcons. Because they're the ones that give them to me.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Hey, give me my Uncrustables on the plane.
Easy enough. Things aren't cheap either, speaking of which. I would go with the Falcons.
That'd be hard to find, too.
The Braves, we have a big enough sample size to where I think we know what the Braves are at this point, right? They have to have excellent pitching off the top, and they have to somehow every few days find timely hitting. And the fact that they need to do that in back-to-back days in a do-or-die scenario, I'm rooting for them. Don't get me wrong. I just think that, you know, it's just one of those things where you look at the percentages, you look at the team you're playing. When we talked to CJ Nitkowski yesterday, he mentioned the fact that he thinks the Padres are the World Series favorites, and they showed it last night.
He's not alone either.
Yeah.
And they showed it last night. So while I think the Buccaneers are good, this is in Atlanta. It's a primetime game. You know, hopefully the city, and I know they will because they have all season so far, will show up and root on the Falcons. And you get situations like last week where you're playing a good team. And you do all the little things right, and you come out with a victory. So I just think that I think the Falcons are always going to have that puncher's chance because you have excellent players, and you have, to me, smart players and smart coaching staff that you can get it done in some of those crunch time situations.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say the point with the Braves is it's just, like you said, we've been there, we kind of know. But with the Falcons, we have a chance to right this ship and make this special. The Braves have been to 7 straight postseasons. The Mets have only made 11 in their entire franchise's history. The Mets have made 11 postseasons. The Braves have 7
That's
straight.
One of the more unbelievable numbers I've ever heard.
And I told you that to be like, we haven't made the playoffs in 6 years for Falcons. This season is still young. We still have a knock on wood. A pretty healthy team for the most part.
Oh gosh!
And
careful, bro.
And there's and Dylan's knocking on a real wood door right now for me.
I don't know if it's
good.
I'm going to take the Falcons win because I think it's pivotal. I think this sets up the division. You win this game, you go to Carolina next week with a chance to go to 4-2 and be 3-0 in the division.
Yeah, and that's significant. What else is significant? You have 2 quarterbacks in this that have been really good in crunch time. When it comes down to the final minutes of the game, we've seen Baker Mayfield pull it off. But also, Kirk Cousins, 30 game-winning drives in his NFL career, including in Week 4 against the Saints. So that's the 5th most among active QBs. I'm not saying that you want it to come down to the wire, but I would say you should feel pretty good about your chances if it does in a matchup where it's an NFC South, it's a division rival. And anything can happen.
And he's had some decent games against the Bucs, including last September when he went and he played Tampa Bay. And I want to say that was in Tampa, but I could be wrong. Went 33 of 44 for 344 with a couple of touchdowns. He did get sacked twice. One thing I want to say about Kirk Cousins is I keep hearing this narrative, and it's, you know, people are asking me. I've heard it in throughout the media. You know, Kirk Cousins healthy. I think you're getting pretty much what Kirk Cousins is. He's a guy that's, you know, you go through his stats. He's a guy that's been hit a lot in his career. He's been sacked a lot. It's about his mobility. Do I think they could do more moving him in the pocket? Yeah, Mike, you and I have talked about this ad nauseum at times, that move this pocket a little bit more. However, I go back and watch against a pretty good pass rushing team in New Orleans last week. I thought even down Drew Dahlman and Caleb McGarry, they did a pretty good job of protecting him in the passing game. Now, there was some poorly run routes. There was some guys that maybe got grabbed a little bit more, and there was just some bad throws by Kirk. I mean, everybody was to blame, but why there wasn't more. But I thought they did, and there was some holding penalties at times or some, you know, hands in the face that were pretty questionable at times as well. That said, I thought they did a good job protecting him. This pass defense comes in here. They've only got – well, they've had 8 sacks on the season, which is double us, but they got 6 last week alone against Philadelphia, which is a surprising stat to me in its own right.
Yeah, and I can't say enough about how well I think Ryan Newsel and Storm Norton did play last week, honestly. And given the circumstances – and we just talked about Baker Mayfield, right, and how well he moves and how quick he gets rid of the ball – and it's kind of the opposite for us in Atlanta right now. He's not moving very well, and the ball is staying. I feel like the ball, as far as our game plan last week, was in the pocket in Kirk's hands probably twice as long as Baker Mayfield had the ball in the pocket. And so shout out to those guys. And look, it's not for not trying. New Orleans smelled blood in the water. They tried to run stunts. They tried to run stuff up the middle. And yet we did a great job kind of counteracting that, and also continue to shout out. And you've mentioned this a number of times, Bijan Robinson picking up some of the blitzes. He's been incredible this year. And blitz pickup. So I just think it's one of those things that it's, as always in the NFL, it comes down to game planning, right? And we have got to find a way to be more successful on third downs and short yardage and in the red zone. We've done a decent job between the 20s, honestly, of moving the ball, and that's the reasons our numbers aren't so lopsided. But third down continues to be a problem, and when you look at Ryan Newsel going up against Vita Vea, although he probably won't be in on third and long, that does look like a mismatch on paper. So I'll be really interested to see what Zach Robinson has in plan for that.
Well, let's flip and talk about the Falcons defense and the run defense specifically. So the Bucs are averaging around 96 rushing yards per game this season. They have not yet averaged 100 rushing yards per game in a season since 2016. And now you have a Falcons defense in which Coach Raheem Morris is looking for their run defense to improve. Here he is with Coach Dave Archer on the Coach's Show.
You would like to be able to stop that thing with a too high safety and leave it to the front. And when you do that, you got to have somebody playing a gap and a half. So we just got to be more sound in our gap and a half fits. Some of the stuff that we like to take shots on, you see guys taking shots, whether it be our linebackers, whether it be a D-line. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, and that allows some creases. So you got to be more calculated on the decisions you make when you take those shots. We got to be a little bit more careful. We got to be a little bit more playing it the right way, doing things the right way, using our hands, being able to get on and off blocks a little bit better. You know, it's not one in particular person, but it's just a thing that we got to be able to settle those things down for everybody at all costs. And I really love where our group is going because I love the understanding. I love the immediate understanding on the sideline to be able to communicate those guys. Guys like David, David going out there and being able to tell you exactly what happened, how it went through the B gap, and he's got to make a better tackle. Or whether it's Caden Ellis being to come off and say, hey, I shot my gun on that one. I got to be able to use my hands and fall back. I mean, these guys speak very clearly on what they want to do and what they have to do, and they were able to go out there and accomplish that in the second half.
I think it's so interesting to hear that you talk about gap and a half fits for defensive linemen, right? And too many times this year have we seen up front of the defensive line, we've got shoulder turners, right? And what that means is, as a defensive lineman, you want to stay square. You want to make your body big. You want to take up one blocker, two blockers, right? And when you get your shoulders turned, not only do you do that because you think you have better leverage, but it also makes the gap that much wider for the running back to be able to fit through. And I think we kind of mentioned it earlier, Tiff, and we wanted to go into it. When you look at the possibility that J.D. Bertrand is a part of this game plan, right, and then play after play after play, if they're running duo downhill at you and they're entering the line of scrimmage and they're just, you know, continuing, J.D. Bertrand is just continuing to get hit, and all of a sudden he starts triggering a little bit earlier and a little bit earlier and saying, I got to stop him, and then Baker Mayfield hits one of those crossing routes over the top behind him on a play-action pass or something up the seam. I think that's got to be part of the game plan for Tampa Bay, right? Well, I think you're hoping your offensive line can unseat these defensive linemen from Atlanta.
And to that point, I might run blitz them early on early downs. Run blitz them, kind of get them out where they're a little bit timid of doing that. They don't know when you're coming. I think you just did to me. The linebackers have to stay out of the wash. They cannot get caught up if that duo starts working and they get them pushed back into that second level. They have got to stay out of all that traffic because that's where we are getting absolutely gashed in the run game.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in, trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception, a podcast dedicated to the wide receivers. Are you as confident in your flex as you are in your wide receiver one? I didn't think so. So follow Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.